1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Here's our subject today, aspiring mighty men. Aspiring mighty men. God, we thank you for your presence and your spirit that's moving here in this house. And I pray, God, that you challenge us. Lord, talk to our hearts. I pray that you'd minister in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in us and help us to be what you've called us to be. We give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. These scriptures denote the beginning of one of the most stressful times in the life of David. The season of his life was no doubt filled with questions, with wondering about the call of God upon his life. You see, he had been anointed by God as the next king of Israel, but many times during this season, we see David not in a palace, not on a throne, but we see him hiding in caves and camps in the wilderness. He was waiting on God's timing, and every day he was waking up wondering if this could be the day that he'd be killed by one of his many enemies. In the chapter before our text, we find something quite curious. David flees from Saul into the land of the Philistines. And he seeks to hide somehow in the camp of Achish, the king of Gath. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Goliath, the giant that David killed, he is a Philistine from Gath. And it seems, though, that perhaps Achish had shown some sort of kindness to David. And here is an enemy of their enemy. Saul was their enemy. And so, you know, here's an enemy of their enemy. And perhaps Achish was being friendly to him. But now Achish's servants remember who David is, and they bring up, you know, isn't this the guy that has killed our fellow soldiers? And so David realizes it's not too safe for him there, and so the Bible states that he changes his behavior before them. And he acts like he's insane. He acts like he's totally out of his mind, so much so that they're like, get him out of here. Take him away. And so now our text finds David hiding out in the cave of Adullam and in the company of some very desperate men. In fact, the Bible says that there was 400 of them, and it says they were all in distress, they were all in debt, and they were all discontent. These men were in trouble. They didn't have anything going for them. They owed a lot of money. They were desperate. They were in distress. But they did have something. David became their captain. And he trained them, and he worked with them, and he taught them discipline. And until they became the foundation of the greatest army that Israel had ever had. I want to tell you, God can work with those that don't have it all together. If you're here today and your life is just totally perfect, if you don't have any problems and you're never distressed and if everything's always just going your way, if you've never messed up, well, I'm sorry, because I'm not really preaching to you. But on the other hand, if you're here, if there's anybody here that you've ever realized that you don't have it all together, that sometimes you've got some need of help, and you'd be willing to admit, I've got a little trouble that I need some help in, and I need God to work in my behalf. If you've ever realized that you come up short at times, then I've got a great message of hope for you today, because God delights in working with those who are distressed. He loves working with those who are in debt, those who are discontent. He loves turning old things around and making them mighty. Praise the Lord. No one who is self-satisfied will ever come to the Lord. Those who are comfortable, they have a hard time letting God work in their life. In Revelation chapter 3, God said to the church of Laodicea, He said, you're rich, you're increased with goods, and you have need of nothing. And He called them lukewarm. Lukewarm. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'll spit you out of my mouth. You ever drink lukewarm water? I'd rather it just be hot or cold. Or lukewarm coffee. That, you know, I guess that's better than cold coffee. But, well, some of you like cold coffee, so, you know. But God said, I will spit you out of my mouth because you're rich, you're increased with goods, you have need of nothing, you're lukewarm. He went on, he said, I'm standing at the door knocking. He said, I'm outside the door, I'm knocking, I'm ready to come in, I'm ready to save you, and I'm ready to bless you, but you're so self-satisfied. I'm standing at the door knocking, but you're so self-satisfied you won't even answer the door. It was distress that brought the prodigal out of the pig pen in a far country. It was distress that caused blind Bartimaeus to call out for Jesus. It was distress that led Peter to cry out for the Lord when he was sinking. David wrote in Psalm 34, when he had to act crazy before King Achish and Gath, David was in distress when he wrote Psalm 34 and 6. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Is there anybody in distress here today? You know you don't have it all together. You know you need the help of God. I believe if you'll call out to the Lord, He will hear you and He will save you out of all your troubles. Hallelujah. Psalm 18 and 6, David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. The Lord will hear you when you cry. But when we're self-satisfied, we won't come to the Lord. But there's something about a call of distress. God hears it. He turns His attention toward it, and He hears our cry and saves us in time of trouble. And so these 400 came to David, 400 men, but they were all in distress. They were bankrupt. They were discontented. However, David became their captain, and he taught them to handle a sword. He taught them how to fight. He taught them how to use both their bow with both the right hand and with the left hand. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 8, and of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle the shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountain. Isn't that something? With David they found protection. With David, they received training, they had companionship, and ultimately they had a reward as being known as the mightiest men in the kingdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we read the account of some of their exploits. Reading in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. 800 at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable among three? Therefore, he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Mighty men. Mighty men. The thing is, they didn't start out mighty. They were in trouble. They were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontented. But God took what little they had to offer, and he transformed them into a mighty group that changed their world. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to some mighty men in the house today. You might look at your life and all you see is trouble and all you see is distress and a failure and debt. And maybe it's not maybe it's a less than perfect credit score, but all you can see is your own shortcomings. But I tell you today, God looks at you with a vision of what you can be if you will let him work in your life. If you'll say, "God, my life is not my own, but I give it to you to work through. I give it to you to move through. I want to be a mighty man for his kingdom." Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God wants to see men mighty in prayer, mighty in holiness, mighty in leadership, mighty in disciple making, mighty fathers, mighty examples, mighty worshipers, mighty prayer warriors, mighty leaders of godly homes. That's what God sees when he looks at you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, mighty men stand up for what's right. It doesn't matter how outnumbered they are. Doesn't matter who else might be going the wrong way. Mighty men stand up for what's right. Adino lifted up his spear against 800 enemies. He wasn't backing down. And he killed them all. Sometimes we have to just determine, I'm going to stand for what's right. It doesn't matter how many are doing it. It doesn't matter. I tell you what, if it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care how many are going the wrong way. I've got to stand for what's right. We're not going to join them. They might choose to leave their family that way. They might choose to allow sin in their lives, to let down on what they've been taught over the years, to compromise a little here and a little there. But mighty men stand for what's right. It might not be popular. It might lose us a few friends on Facebook. But even if it's against 800 other, we're going to stand for what's right. Hallelujah. Come on, do we have any mighty men here today? Praise the Lord. You're going to do what's right with God's help. You're going to stand for what's holy with God's help. You're going to be the leader no matter who else chooses to go the wrong way. You're going to do what God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mighty men. Mighty men are committed. Eleazar fought the Philistines until his hand was so tired, but he kept on fighting. The Bible says his hand stuck to the sword, Brother Pruitt. And God brought a victory there that day. I want to tell you, it's not easy. We get tired, we get overwhelmed, and the enemy tries to reason with us. He says, hey, just take a little rest. You deserve it. Stop fighting. Stop fighting so hard for your family. Just relax a little bit. And come on, you're tired of standing up against sin. You're tired of always doing what's right. And just take a little break from church. You've been working so hard. Just stay home and just enjoy yourself. And you don't have to pay your tithes and your offerings. Just take a little break from faithfulness. You've earned it. I want to tell you, it's not easy to stay committed. Mighty men stay committed even when it's not easy. They come to church even when they don't feel like it. They give even when it's not easy. They pray even when it's not convenient. They keep a guard up for their family even when they're worn out, because the alternative is not worth it. We've got to stay committed. We've got to keep being faithful. Come on, leaders, men, mighty men are committed to being leaders in home, leaders in godliness, leaders in prayer, leaders in devotion, leaders in loving their family, leaders in showing their love for their spouse, leaders in the church, leaders in godliness, leaders in prayer and in worship and in giving. And God blesses those who are committed. He blesses. Oh, I've seen so many times over the years people that started off with a bang. Oh, they were excited. They had a lot of fire in the beginning, but you just let time take its course, and somewhere along the way, they weren't committed. God's blessing comes to those who are faithful, those who are committed. Mighty men are committed. Mighty men defend what's important. They defend what's important. Shammah. Oh, Shammah was the only one left in the middle of a field of lentils, some type of beans, I guess. Everybody else had run away in fear. But there was something that came over Shammah, and he planted himself in the middle of that field. He said, you know what? This field, this harvest, maybe it was his inheritance, I don't know. But he said, this field is too important for me to run away. And he defended that little patch of ground, and he killed all the Philistines that had come to steal it away. And God gave him a great victory that day. God's looking for some mighty men who will defend what's important. Maybe it doesn't seem like much, but if God has given it to you, you need to defend it against all odds. Hallelujah. Defend that home against the enemy that wants to destroy it. Defend your marriage from the enemy. Defend your kids against the influences that are not godly. Stand up for what God has given you. And I want to tell you, when God sees you make that stand, when he sees you defending what's important, I believe God is going to bring victory in your life, because God's looking for someone that'll say, I'm going to be a mighty man. I'm going to be a mighty man, and I'm going to stand in the middle of this field and defend it against all odds. Sometimes we think, I don't have it in me. I can't do it. I can't make it. I don't have the strength. This is greater than what I can do. But there's a strength that comes when you determine, I'm going to do it by the help of the Lord, and God steps in and gives you the strength that you do not have. Come on, let's be a mighty man today. Mighty men fight for a cause that's greater than they are. Three mighty men were with David, fighting the Philistines, and they heard David say, Oh, if I could just have a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem that's by the gate. Oh, it was harvest time. It was hot. They must not have had a lot of water right there. And David kind of went back in his mind to that well of Bethlehem that he used to drink from when he was a kid, and oh, the water was so good, cool and refreshing, and he's there in the hold, and they're fighting that battle, and they're there surrounded, and he says, oh, if I could just have a drink of that well I used to drink of when I was a boy. It seemed impossible. It seemed, oh, but it would be so nice. And those three mighty men, they determined they were going to show David how they would endure hardship for their king. And they showed how little they feared the Philistines. They were mighty men. I want to tell you, today's mighty men are willing to go through hardship for their king. God has called us. He is our king, and we've got a great task before us, leading our homes in righteousness, reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's not always easy. It's not always a cakewalk, but sometimes we've got to endure a little hardship for the Lord. But I want to tell you, there's great rewards. There are great rewards. And when God is on our side, what do we have to fear? The enemy has no more power than what God has allowed him to have. And if we stay on God's side, we're going to be victorious in the end. We're fighting for a cause that's bigger than we are. We're fighting for a kingdom that's greater than our own. We're giving our lives to a purpose that's much more than just our own goals and dreams. But God has called us to a higher calling, and great things are ahead. Hallelujah. Mighty men overcome sin. Benaiah killed two lion-like men. They were bold, they were strong, they were fierce, but Benaiah overcame them. I want to tell you, sin is bold. Sin is fierce. Sin is strong. Sin is out to destroy us, but it can be defeated. But it takes a mighty man or a mighty woman. It takes a mighty young person to overcome sin. And how do we do it? How can we do it? Not through our own strength. But if we're willing to fight this battle, and if we're willing to do it with spiritual weapons, if we'll stand on the word of God, if we'll stay strong through times of prayer, then we can overcome any sin that tries to destroy our lives. Hallelujah. See, the awful truth is there are many men in the world today, they see sin coming, they just give in. They melt in fear, they surrender, and they just go ahead and sin. But Benaiah saw two lion-like men. He didn't run in fear, but he overcame them. God's looking for some mighty men. They're going to determine, I'm going to live a holy life. I'm not giving in to sin. I'm not going to surrender, but I'm going to fight the battle and let God bring the victory. Hallelujah. Mighty men deal with things. They deal with tough situations. Wouldn't it be easier just to ignore it? To just put it off until another day. Mighty men make the hard choice to deal with things. We read that Benaiah killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. We don't know all the circumstances of how this came about, but apparently Benaiah either chased a lion down into the pit, or somehow the lion had fallen into a cistern or a well. And Benaiah, he must have been crazy. He decides to go down there and fight that lion. Now, it would have been much easier to say, you know what? That lion can't hurt nobody. It's down there in the pit. It's trapped down there. It can't get out. I'll come back and deal with the lion later. You know, it's snowing outside. It's cold out here. It's slippery. There's ice. And I don't want to have to fight this battle right now. It'd be a whole lot more convenient to come back and do this some other time. But mighty men deal with things. They don't shirk their duty. They do what has to be done. Sometimes we're faced with things that are not easy. We're faced with things that are not pleasurable. They're not fun. It'd be easier to put it off until another day. It'd be easier to let somebody else go kill that lion. It'd be easier to wait until conditions were more favorable. But what happens when we don't deal with stuff? that lion might get out. Or there might be a child just walking along unawares and falls into the pit with the lion. And since we never dealt with it, maybe one of our family, one of our children, didn't even know there was a lion there, but because we didn't deal with it when we had the chance, they suffer loss. I want to tell you, being a mighty man isn't always easy. It takes a special breed. But mighty men determine, I'm going to deal with the things that I have to deal with when I have a chance right now, because I don't know what could happen if I let this thing go. And I'm not willing to make that chance. Mighty men deal with things. And finally today, mighty men are willing to confront. Benaiah met an Egyptian. Different versions of the Bible call him a goodly man, an impressive man, a huge man, a great warrior. The Egyptian was armed with a spear. All Benaiah had was a club. I don't know if he carried a club with him or he just looked around and picked up the first thing he had. But Benaiah was willing to confront him. And he snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's own hand and killed him with his own spear. Mighty men are willing to confront. They don't go looking for trouble, but when necessary, they're willing to fight for what's right. They're willing to stand against what isn't right. They're willing to confront injustice. They're willing to confront evil. They're willing to confront spirits that are not right. Oh, just let it go. Just let it go, they say. Just kind of appease it. Just don't stir it up. Don't get it riled up. Just kind of appease it and put up with it. But you don't know what damage that spirit is going to do. And you don't know what that little sin is going to grow up into. I know you may not even be armed. You've just got to have to pick up a stick somewhere to use as a club. But you don't know what that Egyptian is going to kill if you don't confront it. Mighty men are willing to confront. Go looking for trouble, but they don't run as well. Some of our nation's greatest heroes, are men and women who have shown great courage in times of great war or tragedy or need. If you were to ask those veterans, are you a hero? In humility, they would all say, oh no. I just did what had to be done. If we ask those who stepped up in times of tragedy, are you heroic? Oh, no. There was just a need, and I was there. Anyone would have done what I did. And I'm sure if we were to address those 400 men with David and ask for, hey, all the mighty men, would you raise your hands? They would no doubt just look around and try to find somebody else. If you were to ask Adino or Eliezer or Shammai or Benaiah, are you a mighty man? They'd all probably just say, oh, no, not me. I got too many things wrong. I've made too many mistakes. I'm just a man in distress, and David took me in. I'm just bankrupt and in debt. I'm just a discontented man without anywhere else to go, but I found a place here in David's army. And no doubt here today, every one of us men would be hesitant to claim that we're a mighty man, because we've got too many struggles and we've made too many mistakes and we're lacking so much. We've got too many shortcomings and failures in life. Oh no, we aren't mighty men. But I wonder today if there'd be some men here today that you would say, you know what? I wouldn't necessarily count myself as a mighty man, but I'm aspiring to be a mighty man. Hallelujah. I'm aspiring to be that. I don't feel comfortable with the title right now, but I want to get there one day, and I'm working towards it, and God is helping me, and he's still working on me. Hallelujah. Come on, Paul said, I haven't got there yet. I haven't reached it yet. I haven't apprehended it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, is there anybody here today? You're not a mighty man yet, but you want to be. And God's helping you, and you're growing, and God's teaching you, and He's still working on you. And one day we're going to get there. Hallelujah. Would you give God some praise right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if you'd stand in closing with me today. Praise the Lord. Come on, we're going to forget some things that are behind us. We're going to forget some failures. We're going to forget some problems. We're going to forget some shortcomings. Come on, whether you're a man or you're a woman or a young person, we're aspiring to be mighty in the kingdom of God today. And I'm not going to focus on my failures of the past, but God, He brought us through it, and He's going to make a way in the future. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The mighty men of David's kingdom were those who came to him in the time of exile. While he was fleeing from Saul, he was running from his own life. They were escaped outlaws. They were criminals. But under David's leadership, they became brave. They became self-controlled. They became mighty men. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 15, 2, verse 2, we read of Jesus Christ spending time with sinners. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This man receiveth sinners. Thank God. Because we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are good in of ourselves. None of us have arrived. We all have shortcomings. We've all failed. We all need Jesus. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was for the outcast of society. They were refused by everyone else. They were hopeless. They were helpless. But Jesus became their help, and He became their hope. He reached for the worst. He reached for the lowest. And the transforming power of the cross is seen in lives all over the world today that came to Jesus, and He transformed them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes a long list of all those who won't make it to heaven. He wasn't afraid. He just told them, hey, if you do these things, you're not going to make it to heaven. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and cheats. But then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, he says, and such were some of you. Oh, and such were some of us here today. But now you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I know we might not count ourselves as mighty men or mighty women or as mighty young people here today. We've all got a long ways to go, but I wonder, is there any who are aspiring to be mighty? You're aspiring to be mighty. You want to become a mighty man. You want God to keep working on you. Is there any aspiring mighty women here today? Is there an aspiring mighty young person here today? Yes, we need God to do so much in our lives. And we might have done all those things. Such were some of us. But God has called us out. And God is working on us. And God is training us. One day we're going to be mighty in the kingdom of God. Hey, amen. I wonder if you'd come with me around this altar today and say, God, keep working on me. Keep moving on me, Jesus.
I need your help, Lord. I want you to make me a mighty man. I want you to make me a mighty woman. I want you to make me a mighty young person for your kingdom today. In the name.
I am free because you said.